You're tuned to Radio Caroline on 199, your all-day music station.
Caroline. 1964 saw the birth of something entirely new in British broadcasting, offshore radio. Radio Caroline, the pioneer of British offshore radio, came on the air at Easter 1964, and in a very short time had captured a listening audience of millions, both in Great Britain and on the continent. Broadcasting from a radio ship anchored in international waters off the Frinton-Essex coast, Radio Caroline had become so popular that after only a few weeks of broadcasting, it was decided to purchase another radio ship and anchor in Ramsey Bay off the coast of the Isle of Man, thereby setting up two Radio Carolines. The new station was called Radio Caroline North and covered the north of England, Scotland, and also Ireland. And the original station was renamed Radio Caroline South and broadcast programmes to listeners in London and the southeast of England and also to people on the continent, thereby giving Radio Caroline coverage of the whole of Great Britain and much of the continent. Radio Caroline was on the air, giving its listeners a taste of an entirely new formula of broadcasting.
From Radio Caroline South, it's the Dave Lee Travis Show!
The new station not only proved popular with listeners and, of course, advertisers, but also inspired other enterprising businessmen to start their own offshore radio stations. And within a few months of Caroline coming on the air, there were several other stations broadcasting from the coast of Britain.
What a show! Radio!
Stay with the fun.
Whoopee!
Hear all the hits on Swingin' Radio England.
Step up, step up to a new level of musical velvet. Smooth sounds of the smart set, hallmark of quality, Britain Radio.
On 242 meters in the medium wave band, this is Radio Scotland.
Nearly everyone, to say the least, was absolutely delighted with the new radio stations. Everyone, that is, except the British government, who in 1967 brought out a law which was designed to force the offshore radio stations to close down by making it illegal for British subjects to work on offshore radio or to supply the ships with food, water or fuel. So, on August the 14th, 1967, the day before the government's Marine Broadcasting Offences Act was due to come into effect, the death cries of nearly all of the offshore radio stations could be heard.
Big L time is 3 o'clock and Radio London is now closing down.
But Radio Caroline continued.
And as we enter this new phase in our broadcasting history, you naturally have our assurance that we intend to stay on the air because we belong to you and we love you. Caroline continues.
And continue they did, but not for long. On the morning of March the 3rd, 1968, they had unexpected visitors, tugboats from their supply company, Weissmuller. Caroline had run into financial difficulty and had not been able to pay for their tendering service. The two ships were towed into harbour in Amsterdam, where they remained for some 4.5 years, during which time the North ship was broken up and the South ship, the MV Mi Amigo, fell into disrepair, partially sunk and was devastated by souvenir hunters. Radio Caroline was dead, or so it seemed.
I was interested in pirate radio, so I thought, well, I could do something with one of them to produce some money. I decided, well, let's get bread together to make a pirate museum. make on that way some money.
The voice of Gerard Van Dam, a businessman and free radio enthusiast from The Hague in Holland, who in 1972 had the idea of converting the old Radio Caroline South ship, the MV Mi Amigo, into a pirate radio museum. But the ship had been standing in harbour for over 4 years. What condition was the ship in when he bought it?
It was terrible. Little schoolboys started about 5 years before that time I went on by nicking the whole thing, you know, steal the thing empty. And the last one decided, well, I open the outboard top.
So you converted it into a museum. What were the main problems you had in restoring it?
The main problems was the technical side of it, getting generators working. Shorts all over the ship because of the water went in the ship for 5 years.
Did you ever get the museum operational? Did you ever open the museum?
Just for a couple of weeks.
Did you have any customers?
About 10 or 15, but it produced money, yeah.
So you had bought the ship and you had a museum operational. And what gave you the idea to take the thing out to sea?
Well,
was it seaworthy at that time?
It wasn't seaworthy at all, and it shall be never seaworthy. But the idea was later on, when a bloke called Ronan O'Reilly walked on, he decided, well, you bought the ship, I'll put it on my name and I give you enough bread to get the thing in such a state you can get it out and transmit with it. So I thought, well, from them, being a DJ, that's nice. So I decided, okay, put it on his name, which was to make the big mistake I've ever made in my life, the biggest. And he gave me bread out of another guy, which I didn't know on that time, to rebuild the ship in a reasonable state. Let's say about around about 10% you need for having a radio station. And there was a rumor around September that the guys, the government, should stop us to go out. So we decided, okay, we have now something. Don't lose all and get it out as soon as possible. So we went out with one generator and for about 24 hours food and about 30 hours gasoline, but we went out.
How long was it until you came on the air?
A couple of months. The Ronan O'Reilly wouldn't go on the air on that time because he wanted to wait till his movie, Gold, was ready to go on.
So the reason for Caroline coming back on the air at the beginning of 73 was to promote the movie, Gold?
To promote the movie, get the boats for the coast of England and scream over the air, movie Gold is there.
Gold is a movie about a new American dream.
When you need someone to guide you, a helping hand to be beside you, look around, I'll be behind you.
The gold rush has started in Europe.
Just go! Can I make you any younger?
Gold is at the Classic Cinema in Piccadilly Circus, just under the Guinness clock.
When you're looking for an answer,
new gold.
Can't buy it.
New music.
Can't buy it.
A new movie.
Can't buy it.
A movie about a new American dream.
So the original intention was to take it to England in
1973? Yeah.
Why didn't it go?
Well, the boat wasn't reliable enough to go to England. It shouldn't survive the cross.
So you had the Mi Amigo out at sea again, in reasonable order. How did you set about setting up a radio station? I mean, how does one set about setting up a radio station? Mm-hmm. How did you find staff and disc jockeys?
Well, you did find staff easily because all from all sides, guys went on, and you just hired them. I did hire everyone who walked around and said, well, I want to be on as a DJ or someone who wanted to work, because there wasn't bread available to pay, so everyone who decided, oh, come on and work, he's in. Yeah. He's the man. If you walked on that time and said, well, I work, I gave you money to work here, said, okay, come on, mm-hmm. Join the party.
When did the station come on the air with regular programs?
It was in November, just before the mast broke down.
How did the mast break? This was the original mast, wasn't it?
The original mast. We just started testing. In fact, when Veronica changed its wavelength and the North Sea came on that Saturday, we had aggravation going, so we decided, okay, go on with testing as well. And it was doing quite well, because the mast was good, in a good state. And then we did get the November storm, which was the heaviest since 1927. And the thing broke in three pieces. And after a lot of aggravation, a lot of fights and problems, we did build a mast, which we did call the Mickey Mouse one. It was a nice mast. It produced sound quite good, and it made money.
How did you set about getting commercials for the station in the early days?
Well, we had a few people in cars who drive to little shop holders and little companies and say, well, are you interested in having any commercials on the station? And when they said, well, what is it costing and is it possible? Then they said, can I use your phone? And what do you like to hear over the radio? And then they said this or that. And then they phoned up our office in Scheveningen, and they went on the ship to shore, and they gave the message, and within 10 minutes the shopholder did had his message on the air, and they were so surprised that we all the time did get our commercials out of them.
We've heard a lot of stories about the mutiny at the beginning of 1973. What in fact happened?
Ronan O'Reilly promised me to produce every week money, a certain amount of money. The main problem was he never did produce money. On that last day of the year, after the night programs, at 3 o'clock we ended the programs, a small boat came alongside with Captain Van der Kamp and about eight other old crew members who wanted to have their money, which they didn't get paid. So they did get the ship. They blow all the English off. They set it one together in a room. I was there on board as well. And they have had everything organized, like a tug boat from Dick Roos, which on that time supplied North Sea. Sawed the anchor chain off and get the thing talked into the harbor. Ronan O'Reilly went furious, because that time he did came out on another tender boat to try to stop it, to deliver money on the crew members. But it was all too late.
So what happened when the ship went into harbour? How long did it take you to get it out again?
As soon as we went in harbour, a lawyer came on board, and it was the lawyer of the crewman. And he said, okay, I want to have now produced 7,000 gulden, which was a silly amount of money. Otherwise, your ship is on the chain. I made the agreement with that lawyer. Okay, it's now Saturday. I produce Monday morning your amount of money. And he said, okay, what can I do about it? It's okay. So they didn't put the chain, they didn't lock the ship. You understand? So I still had my chance to get out before Monday morning, 9 o'clock. So we went out on Sunday afternoon on tugboats. Paid for the tugboats, my mother did again, and they brought us just before the locks, and there we did get the problems, because the lawyer from the crew did get the message, they are going again, so stop them. And just before the locks they stopped us, get the thing talked into the harbour of IJmuiden, the fishing harbour, and the only thing only one thing. There was a hole in the back of the ship. And Ronan O'Reilly decided not to let it make, because that cost money. And that was the main fault he made, because that gave the harbour master the authority to keep us in. We decided then later on let it make, but it didn't help quite well, because the whole ship was locked up already by the old crew members who put the chain by law around the ship, till they did get the money for their work they did in earlier days, and where the whole situation was built around. So when the hull was repaired, there was a reason for us and no problem to go out.
How long did it take between you leaving IJmuiden and getting back on the air?
We left IJmuiden half past seven, and we were on the air half past one in the afternoon.
Serving the European continent from the North Sea, this is the new Radio Caroline.
So, after very nearly 5 years of silence, Radio Caroline surprised everyone by returning to the air. On board when the Mi Amigo eventually left Ein Mauden after the mutiny were disc jockeys Andy Archer, Tony Allen, Steve England, Crispian St. John and Norman Barrington. Norman, what were conditions like in those early days?
It's difficult to know where to begin, really. The ship was in a terrible state, having been underwater for so long. It was very rusty and needed painting rather badly. There was no central heating, and you must bear in mind that we were in the middle of the winter, and that was rather unpleasant. We had a few little gas heaters. We only had one studio, and that contained one spotmaster and one Mickey Mouse Sony recorder, so production was pretty hard, and, well, we did get quite a few things together, as you'll hear a bit later. We had no crew or cook, which meant being a disc jockey involved pumping fuel into our one and only generator, which was a GM, incidentally. Also meant doing night watch, painting the ship, scraping the ship, hundreds of things we had to do. We even did our own cooking with the help of Steve's wife, Debbie, who joined a few weeks after we got out there. Times were hard in those days, really were, but it was a most incredible experience. Everyone worked together, it was a very together atmosphere on board, and generally it was great fun.
Well, the Mi Amigo wasn't the only thing suffering from problems in those early days. Here's station manager Chris Carey, otherwise known as DJ Spangles Muldoon, attempting to record a test transmission.
This is a test transmission on 1187... No, do it again. This is a test transmission on 1187 kilocycles in the medium wave band. Transmission. This is a test transmission. You're listening to a test transmission on 1187 kilocycles in the medium wave band. Transmission reports would be gratefully received at the following. You are listening to a test transmission on 1187 kilocycles in the medium wave band. Hey. You're listening to a test transmission on 1187.
Thank you, Chris. Let's take a listen now to Crispian St. John, who's also suffering from a similar problem.
Are you planning your next holiday? Why not come to Scaveningham? There are hotels, large and small, clubs, discotheques, beautiful beaches, famous fishing harbours, and plenty more. So inquire at your local travel agency and about your... Are you planning your 1973 holiday? Why not come to Scaveningham? There are hotels, large and small...
Well, problems or no problems, Caroline remained but still had not enough money to buy a large mast to enable the station to use its full power of 50 kilowatts. Then on Monday, April the 2nd, 1973, a stroke of bad luck for one of our neighbours turned into good luck for Caroline. In one of the worst storms for many years, Radio Veronica broke its anchor and was washed onto the beach in Scaveningham. Radio Caroline offered its services, and on April the 11th, a new sound was heard on 259.
People rather than the Delbrands, and you are the captain of my ship. How are we? Norman Barrington, die maakt op het ogenblik de keuze van de grammofoonplaat, want die moet wel weten, hij zit voor ons. Ik moet een kleine beschrijving geven, vrees misschien wel aardig. Wij staan hier met z'n tweeën. Dat wil zeggen, wij proberen stil te blijven staan, maar dat is enigszins onmogelijk.
Ja,
ook weer terug te voeren door op de weersomstandigheden.
Ja, dat komt door die golflengte, hè? 259 meter, dat is een hele korte golfslag. En dan val je om.
Techniek Norman Barrington, dit is Arend Langenberg. Radio Veronica Nieuws. In dit bulletin, het Socialistische Partijcongres in Hannover, 8 Spaanse arbeiders opgesloten in een tunnel.
Radio Veronica stayed on board the Mi Amigo for just 10 days until April the 20th when their own ship was refloated. Also refloated at that time was Radio Caroline's bank balance, as in just 10 days of broadcasting from the Mi Amigo, Radio Veronica had provided enough money to enable new studio equipment and new aerial to be purchased. 259 then remained silent for nearly 1 month as disc jockeys and crew were erecting the new aerial. Then, when just 10 of the 12 aerial sections had been erected, Caroline again came up with some surprises. This time, two of them.
Radio, Radio Caroline.
Some kind of radio. Your kind of radio.
Radio Caroline.
Serving the European continent from the North Sea. This is the new Radio Caroline. Radio, Radio Caroline.
You're on a music weekend. Getting it together. Getting it together. Coffee and music with
Radio Caroline.
Caroline. Turn on the music machine.
The station with the happy difference.
Radio, Radio Caroline.
The station with the happy difference.
June 1973, and Radio Caroline was back again. This time with a vengeance, as two transmitters were now operating from on board the Mi Amigo. The large 50 kilowatt transmitter was on 259 meters, 1187 kilohertz, and was used for a Dutch language easy listening program.
Radio, Radio Caroline.
And a new frequency was being used, 389 meters, 773 kilohertz, and it was used for broadcasting top 40 music with a power of 10 kilowatts.
This is the new Radio Caroline.
You've never heard it so good.
On Channel 77, this is the new Radio Caroline.
Radio, Radio Caroline.
Reaching out, touching you. 77.
Diodato and 2001 theme. To say that and say the full title, I don't know. Anyway, you're listening to Steve England on Radio Caroline International, the English the International Service, sorry. Well, it's one and the same thing, isn't it? I don't know. So if you'd like to write to me, the address is quite simple, auditable, and I'd like to hear from you, really, either if it's for a request or a dedication or just if you want to complain how bad I am on the air or something like that. Anyway, it's Steve England, Radio Caroline, Caroline House, The Hague in Holland. And here's Paul McCartney in Wings, My Love.
Radio Caroline music.
Number one this week in the Caroline International Countdown. That's Rubber Bullets from a group called 10cc. And if you just tuned our way, good evening to you. Just over 7:15 on Caroline International. My name's Robin Aycroft. Be here with you until 8 o'clock. Then we have Norman Barrington. And here's his hit pick for this week. This is George Harrison and Give Me Love and Give Me Peace on Earth.
Curtis Mayfield and We've Got to Have Peace. Incredible piece of music that comes from the LP Roots. I'd like to say a big welcome to everyone who's just joined me on 259 metres in the medium wave band. Welcome along to the Norman Barrington happening, and I'll be with you through until 12 o'clock with some good music. I hope you enjoy it. This is Layla from Derek and the Dominoes.
Radio Caroline.
But unfortunately, after only a few weeks of operation, the ship's generator blew up, and both the new Radio Carolines were silenced.
And midnight, Andy and Tony, I expect, if they're still both here, because the tender's just come alongside, or really hasn't come alongside, but it's very close anyway. Ah, news. Hello, Robbie.
Rothier.
Oh.
Hi there, glad you could stick around. Here's Chris Carey counting.
8, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20.
Thank you very much, Chris Carey. Caroline Bell by Captain Mile. Thank you very much, Captain. Nice stuff. Time Signal by Greenwich. Spot on, soul brother. Paint Work by Mike the Poet. Quite a splash. Spanish Flats commercial by Bob Noakes.
And owning a flat on the Costa del Sol means that when you're not using it yourself, you can make money by letting it.
Nice style, Bob. Snoring by Chicago. Weather Break by snapping it over your knee.
Weather Break, go, go!
Suck it to me. Jan Vink and Hans Rose, accompanied by soprano George Antonison. Doing fine. And here comes Miss Archer, side saddle. Oh. He's so gay. Veteran car courtesy Ronan O'Reilly. Alone, Roan. Robin Ancroft, camping it up. Thank you very much, Robin. Meanwhile, it's Yarb on generators.
Music explosion!
Thank you very much, Yarb. Tea served by Mickey the Cook.
Oh, and have one yourself.
Thank you very much.
You deserve it.
He really loves that rough weather. Here's Tony Allen saying cheerio. Peter Van Dyken lowering the spare anchor. And this whole ridiculous thing was produced by me. One, two. Many people in the past have asked us the question,
where do that money come from to keep the Radio Colour Line on the air?
On Sunday, July the 15th, 1973, an answer was found.
Radio Atlantis, set them up.
Which was the only offshore radio station to come on the air on the day it had forecast.
Atlantis here, Atlantis there, Atlantis in the air, Atlantis everywhere.
Radio Atlantis was run by a Belgian businessman, Adrian van Lanskot, who paid Radio Caroline to broadcast the pre-recorded programmes of Radio Atlantis. The station soon proved to be very popular, not only with its Belgian listeners, but also with Radio Caroline's bank manager. And you may have noticed that in the early days of Atlantis, they announced that they were broadcasting on 385 metres, when in fact the programmes were to be heard on 259. Here's Bob Noakes.
We were very lucky with the weather in June and July, and were able to put up the last two sections of the mast. We'd hoped to put two stations on the air once again, 259 and 389, and the aerials and transmitters were ready for this. We had a deadline to get Atlantis on the air by the 15th of July, but on the 14th, even though we searched the ship from end to end, we just couldn't find the most vital transmitter part, the 773 kilohertz crystal. The one we were using at the time was roughly the size and shape of a small matchbox, and somebody had started using it to replace a lost pawn in our chess set. Unfortunately, as other parts had been lost as well, the whole box was thrown overboard, and so, of course, the only thing we could do was to put Atlantis on 259.
Thank you, Bob. A few days after the start of Atlantis, the original Caroline English service returned, but in a new form.
This is Radio Seagull on 259 metres medium wave, coming to you live from the MV Mi Amigo. And the programmes today...
Barry Everett and Hugh Nolan, both of whom had worked on Radio Geronimo previously, joined Andy Archer and myself to present the programmes of Seagull each evening on 259, featuring progressive music, jazz, and some classics presented by Bob Noakes. Later, we were joined by Tony Allen and Johnny Jason, who had worked on the 389 service previously. All went well on board the Mi Amigo until the morning of October the 18th, when, at 9:20 in the morning, after yet another bad storm, the Caroline again lost its aerial, and again there was silence on 259.
Once again it seemed as if the end had come, but thanks to the money which had been saved while Radio Atlantis was on the air, a new and much stronger aerial was built on board the Mi Amigo. Work was finished just before Christmas 1973, and test transmissions were again to be heard on 259.
Hey, hey, Tilionte, hi, hi, hiya. Hey, hey, Tilionte, hi, hi, hiya. Andy Archer is so... Everybody knows it. People say he's... with Mike the Poet. Hey, hey, Dilly-um-day, hi, hi, hiya. Hey, hey, Dilly-um-day, hi, hi, hiya. Peter Chicago, as everyone knows, has a big ego. That's why he tells us all he's going back to the Mebo. Hey, hey, Dilly-um-day, hi, hi, hiya. Hey, hey, Dilly-um-day, hi, hi, hiya. Norman Barrington makes us laugh every single day. He makes sure he gets his oats, come what may. Hey, hey, Dilly-um-day, hi, hi, hiya. Hey, hey, Dilly-um-day, hi, hi, hiya. Tony Allen's back from the Mid, counting out his money. Every night in his bed, he sucks a little honey. Hey, hey, Diddly-um-day, hi, hi, hi. Hey, hey, Diddly-um-day, hi, hi, hi. Mike the Poet writes a lot, every line is deep. That doesn't quite explain why we all fall asleep. Hey, hey, Dilly-um-day, hi, hi, hiya. Hey, hey, Dilly-um-day, hi, hi, hiya. Dick Palmer is a guy who thinks he's very clever. He spends all of his time telling us to get it together. Hey, hey, Dilly-um-day, hi, hi, hiya. Hey, hey, Dilly-um-day, hi, hi, hiya. Mickey Mercer is a Yank, but he lives in Delft. He likes to very much, 'cause it's good for his health. Hey, hey, Dilly-um-day, hi, hi, hiya. Hey, hey, Dilly-um-day, hi, hi, hiya. Robin Adcroft's not with us now, he's joined RNI. Graham Gill, so we all know why. Hey, hey, Dilly-um-day, hi, hi, hiya. Hey, hey, Dilly-um-day, hi, hi, hiya.
Johnny Jason is a straight, or so it seems. But his legs are oh so fat, you should see him getting into his jeans.
Hey, hey, diddly-um day, hi, hi, hiya. Hey, hey, diddly-um day, hi, hi, hiya.
Bob Noakes doesn't do much, so people frown. Well, okay, he doesn't do much, but he brought the old boss down.
Hey, hey, diddly-um day, hi, hi, hiya. Hey, hey, diddly-um day, hi, hi, hiya.
Ronan O'Rahilly's with Charlotte Ribbling. He still thinks that nobody knows, but we've all seen them.
Hey, hey, diddly-um day, diddly-um day.
And that's Norman there, together with Bob Noakes, and a little something which was played during a test transmission at Christmas 1973. Unfortunately, somebody rather important was listening, and it resulted in Norman being fired. However, just 3 days later, Norman was working for another radio station.
January the 1st, 1974, saw the official opening of another radio station. Radio Atlantis had pulled out in October when the aerial had collapsed and another Belgian company run by Mr. Sylvain Tuck had filled the gap. Radio Mi Amigo soon proved to be unbelievably popular with millions of listeners both in Belgium and Holland. And apart from radio, the Mi Amigo organization were also involved in several manufacturing companies in Belgium, and due to advertising of their products on Mi Amigo, demand far exceeded supply. On January the 7th, just a few days after the opening of Radio Mi Amigo, Radio Seagull reopened to broadcast each evening after Radio Mi Amigo went off the air at 9 o'clock, and a new disc jockey, Brian Anderson, joined the station. A few days later, a new program could be heard each evening on Radio Mi Amigo.
That's really fine, from 7 till 9, on Mi Amigo, they're making whoopee.
Every day from 7 until 9, why not join Brian Anderson and Norman Barrington on the English program of Radio Mi Amigo International on 259 metres medium wave.
Brian Anderson and Norman Barrington, they're making whoopee.
The time on Radio Mi Amigo is now exactly 8 o'clock.
Mi Amigo Radio. Mi Amigo, here we go. Go, go!
Yuppie, 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 yuppie.
The drums, the theater rock.
Yuppie!
Radio Mi Amigo.
Goedenavond, dit is Radio Mi Amigo internationaal met het Engelstalig programma van UDJ Brian Anderson. Met veel goede muziek.
Brian Anderson on Radio Mi Amigo International.
If you don't believe me, take a listen to this.
Ladies and gentlemen, the really truly wonderful.
Truly wonderful.
Brian Anderson Show.
Brian Anderson Show.
On the Mi Amigo.
On Radio Mi Amigo.
For you.
On 259.
Yes, the English service of Radio Mi Amigo had begun, but more changes were on the way, for on February the 23rd, the name Seagull gave way to the return once again of Radio Caroline, and another new DJ arrived on board, Mike Hagler.
Caroline 259, all the time in your mind, keep in mind 259, Caroline, music's fine. Right here in your ear, and the archers very near on Caroline at 259 radio. That's really fine. Night waves roll, radio Caroline at 259, medium wave to blow your mind, Caroline. Night waves roll, 259. For your soul. Music's right here in your ear. It's Bob Noakes, he's very near on Caroline at 259 radio. That's really fine. Music's right here in your ear. Norman Barrington, very near on Caroline at 259 radio. That's really fine.
Flying to the sun, sweet Caroline.
Live from the North Sea, good music on 259 meters every night between 9 p.m. and 6 a.m. on Radio Caroline.
Flying to the sun, sweet Caroline.
Johnny Jason, leave England. Tony Allen is gay. Norman Barrington.
Norman Barrington.
It's Norman. Okay.
Happiness is a thing called.
Norman Barrington with good music.
Norman Barrington.
Brian Anderson.
Brian Anderson on Mi Amigo.
This is Brian Anderson on Radio Caroline.
Brian Anderson.
Music.
I go, go.
Anderson.
Thank you, Norman.
Oh, that's all right. I mean, don't mention it.
On the 27th of February, a link-up was made with the Dutch national radio station Hilversum 3, and they appeared to be rather jealous about the power of Caroline's transmitter.
Hello there, Caroline.
Hello.
Hiya, Peter Chicago, Brian Anderson, Norman Barrington.
Oh, hello, this is Brian Anderson here.
Hiya. Hi, Brian. Can you tell me something?
Yeah.
We got complaints here in the Hilversum. They say you're so loud. Can't you turn it down a bit? You're overpowering Hilversum 3 during daytime. What's happening there?
Well, I'll turn you over to our chief engineer on board. Did you hear that, Chicago? No, you had the headphones on, Brian, but... I could hear a little bit in the background.
We've just had a complaint that we're drowning out Hilversum 3 in Holland because we're so loud. Could you explain as to why we're so loud?
Well, of course, we did have the advantage not only of having a 50 kilowatt transmitter, which is quite a powerful combination anyway, but having our aerials above the sea water, the efficiency of the aerial system becomes very high, and our 50 kilowatts out here is probably equivalent to, well, something between a 100 and maybe a 200 kilowatt transmitter operated on land.
Now, listen, baby, listen, Peter Chicago. Hey, wait a minute. Hey, hello there.
Hello?
Peter.
Yeah?
Peter Chicago. Baby, listen, we only got 10 kilowatts. So what are you doing? What are you trying to do? Kill us?
Well, of course, we are aiming at a pretty wide audience. We are,
or hope to be,
an international station, of course.
Yeah. What's on your turntable now? Because in the evening, your name is Caroline, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right.
You got the same power in the evenings?
Yes, the same power. We're 50 kilowatt day and night.
Yeah. And what can we do to... What can we do to... can we bribe you or something to... to turn it down a bit? Or what can we do about it?
Did you hear that, Peter? Does that mean that you're having some sort of problems with our signal? Because I don't understand why this should be true. Because, for instance, we operated off the English coast and we're considerably closer in frequency to Radio 1. And they never had any problems with reception of their signal.
Well, that's a technical thing. I'm not that familiar with the whole business, but I know that I'm just producing this show in the evenings on Wednesday night. My name is Ton, by the way. And,
Hello, Ton.
The only thing I know that when I came in here, there was a note that several phone calls had been coming in during the daytime. That people were asking us, how is it possible that Mi Amigo is so much stronger than you? Can't you turn it up a bit? But we can, because we got this fucking 10 kilowatt, you know what I mean?
Well, I sympathize with you, but you do have the advantage, of course, of being an FM station, and I believe a lot of your listeners have got the advantage of the quality of FM, which is something in which we envy you.
So we can't do business. I mean, that's what you mean. We can't do business. You're aiming to be just as powerful as you've ever been.
Well, of course,
Can sweet talk help?
Oh, I'm sorry if you do have a problem with us being close to your frequency. But,
okay. Maybe we'll talk about it later on. But what's on your turntable now?
Tell us, Brian, because only come into the studio.
Okay, Tom, it's music from Santana.
Okay, give it to us.
Okay, here we go. Santana from the new album. This is called When I Look Into Your Eyes.
Caroline continued to use its full power of 50 kilowatts, despite the fact that other radio stations were perhaps a little jealous.
Nee.
In fact, reception reports for our transmissions were received from places as far away as New York and Pakistan.
Nee.
And now here's Brian Anderson to say...
And now for something completely different.
Note, there's a movie about the new Swahili Needy. The Needies have arrived in Europe. Toad is appearing on this station under the sign of the Needy. Toad is a movie about the new Swahili Needy.
Well, what can I say about that one that wasn't said in the music itself?
Give us a bang when you're ready.
One of the nicest things about being on board a radio ship, especially during the summer months, is that we have many visitors who come out to see us. And one such visit took place on the 1st of July during the Graham Kay Show on Radio Mi Amigo, when Andy Archer took a microphone out on deck to welcome our visitors.
Right, there we are. Thank you very much indeed, Graham Kay. We're live on the deck with Andy Archer again as the Fortuna comes alongside. How many of you are listening to us over there? A lot of you. Hello? Like to welcome you out here today. It's very nice to see you all on behalf of Radio Caroline and also Radio Mi Amigo. As you can see, we've got a sign up here welcoming you. Welcome the FRC, the Free Radio Campaign. I'd also like to introduce you to a few people here on board. This is Tone the engineer. Some applause. Yeah. in the blue sweaters, Johnny Jason. Johnny, there we are. And then we have Rob Eden with the check jacket on. And John Meir with the purple T-shirt. And Paul LeCook is standing here with a kind of blue shirt on. Further down, we've got Mickey with the very long hair. Some applause for Mickey, please. Yeah? And then there's Peter Chicago with the purple shirt on. I think Peter Chicago's got the biggest round of applause today. And then at the end, there's Benny. Benny's the one wearing the Radio Clyde T-shirt. And Captain Tarl is the one standing in the background. And for all our listeners at home listening at the moment, we have a boat coming alongside. It's the Fortuna from Skaveninger with quite a few members of the Free Radio campaign on board, all waving. Is Hans Verbaan on board? Where's Hans? There he is. Hello, Hans. How are you? Nice to see you. And your brother, Wouter, as well. There we are, Wouter. Also, we have a letter which Hans sent in to us, which we'll read out very quickly. It says, this Saturday we're coming around with a trip from the Free Radio campaign to the Mi Amigo at 7 o'clock. And would we please say hello to Peter and Avina Owen from Lee in Lancashire, in England, because they're on their honeymoon. So where are Peter and Avina? Are they up the top? You having a nice time? Many congratulations from all of us on board. Yes, fellas, congratulations. A round of applause all together. There we are. And we have to wish you the very best of luck for the future from Wouter, Hans and the family Verbaan in Skaveninger, and of course from all the members of the Free Radio campaign in Holland and in England and in Germany too. Do we have any members of the German Free Radio campaign on board today? No? Oh yes, we have one up there, a young man with some glasses on. Guten Abend. And there's a young man standing at the front with a rather large radio which he's picking us up on. I forgot to introduce you to Graham Kay, by the way. Graham, will you put your head out of the window so they can see you? Here we are. A round of applause for Graham Kay. There he is. We'll just have a look at the clock. It's about 27 minutes past seven on a Saturday night. We're having quite a bit of fun on board today. I must say it's very nice to see you all. And thanks very much indeed for coming out. How many of you listen to Radio Caroline? If only we could put the microphone a bit closer. Anyway, we have to go back to some music because that's what we're about. But on behalf of everybody on board, namely Chicago and Johnny and Benny and John, Mickey, Captain Tarl, Tone and also Paul, and not forgetting our friend Graham, thanks very much indeed for coming out. It was very nice to see you. And let's all keep our fingers crossed that next year you can come out and do the same thing again. Bye-bye.
Saturday, August the 31st, 1974, and our neighbours on the North Sea, Veronica, RNI and Atlantis were forced to close down. The Dutch government had introduced their Marine Broadcasting Offences Act, as the British government had done back in 1967.
History repeated itself as Caroline once again continued. Just 3 days before the bill came into effect, the Mi Amigo upped anchor and sailed back to its original home off the coast of England. Caroline and Mi Amigo remained on the air.
It's 7 o'clock. And welcome to Caroline on 259.
Radio, Radio Caroline.
Graham Gill,
Andy Archer,
Mike Hagler,
Brian Anderson,
Johnny Jason,
Norman Barrington,
John Mayer,
Tony
and
Allen,
Mickey Mercer. The Caroline family from now until 6 tomorrow morning here on 259.
Welcome back, my friends, to the show that never ends. We're so glad you could attend. Come inside, come inside. Come inside, the show's about to start. Guaranteed to blow your head apart.
Welcome back, my friends, to the show that never ends. Appropriate words for the station that started it all over 10 years before. It seems ironic that Caroline should perhaps also be the last.
But who can tell? The future, as always in the world of offshore radio, is without a doubt full of surprises. And who can say what will happen in the next 10 years?
I, for one, wouldn't have missed the last 2 years for the world.
And I, too, wouldn't have missed my time spent aboard what must be the most unsinkable ship in the world.
In the beginning, there was darkness, and the spirit of D.A. reared its head in habitual pattern, preying on the mind of man, oppressing him. And then one man turned to himself and said, in a voice free from fear, "Let there be L.A.
I think I am. Therefore, I am. I think."
And for him, D.A. vanished, and the light of everlasting L.A. began to spread from his point of view onto the world. And his fellow men took notice, Some mock the man, saying, "Thou art a fool. Look what thou hast given up. Thou art surely the all-time sucker." And the man smiled, for he knew he had given up nothing, but had in fact gained the world. And gradually, it became less difficult for the man to relate in the spirit of L.A. continuously. And more men took notice of him, and saw that L.A. was good, and asked, "What made him different?" And the man said, "You make me different from yourself, for verily we are all the same. Know thyself, and fear not, for there is nothing to fear but fear itself. Above all, do unto others as you would do unto yourself, and the spirit of L.A. will forever guide your life." And the people all saw that it was good, and became one with the man.
There you go, man. Keep as cool as you can. Face piles of trials with smiles. It riles them to believe that you perceive the web they weave. And keep on thinking free.